Blog Talk Radio.
Mama always told me, baby, you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. Real talk, you gotta listen.
Welcome to another episode of the Tony and Kai Show. We are here on this cool, damp day here in Virginia. Happy April Fools. We're not going to play any jokes on you that I know of tonight. It is my sister's birthday, and I don't know, I doubt she's listening. They're back home in Massachusetts doing all their stuff. I miss you guys, just in case they are. Miss you, love you. Enjoy your birthday. Tomorrow my daughter turns 18. I'm ecstatic. My love is here. Hello, honey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
How you doing?
My birthday's
on the 19th. I just thought I'd tell you.
Yes, it's in the lineup. At least on the Tony and Kai page.
I just thought I'd let you know my birthday's on the 19th. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Okay.
Aries rule.
For those of you
Aries
that
rule.
Are not a member of the Tony and Kai Facebook group, make sure you go. When you get on your Facebook page, you go to your search bar and put Tony, the letter N, and Kai, and our group will come up. Make sure you request to join that. That way you can see everything that we're doing, our shows
yep,
as they come
up.
You
can see my birthday's on the 19th. Yep, you can see that.
Yes.
Here too. Yep.
The April schedule does on our website. It is there. You know, so make sure that you support us because we definitely support you and what you do. Today we are going to be talking with life coach Shalonda Coach Treasure Williams, and
yeah,
we just got
boy.
Her book of stuff of products today. We are going to, oh, I can't wait. We got to go through this box and go through all her stuff. She is going to talk with us today and get you guys motivated to self-esteem, self-love, self-image, self-worth. We are going to get her going and talk about all this stuff. But before we do, because we've been wanting to be able to talk about our stuff. We're going to bring her in, though, so she can at least say hi so y'all know she's here because she's here. Shalonda, you there, hon?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Tony. Hi.
Shalonda, how you doing, girl? How you doing?
I'm excellent.
Good, how is your son? Good.
How's your baby?
He's doing
He's fine. He had a really, really, really big bump and fall upstairs, and it was like one of those house shaking bumps, and you're like, oh my God, what just happened? So I had to make sure that he was good. He's only three, so we want to make sure there's no busted heads and things like that. So
yeah.
He's good. He's good, though. He's good. Thank you for asking.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, you know, because I was like, me and Tony, well, we can handle it. You can come back another day. But is everything is okay? That's good. I'm going to do our little. We never really get to do this, so we got a couple people that I want to mention and give up the lineup, and then we were going to get right to you, okay?
Excellent. Okay.
So our schedule for this month, so that I don't have to ramble it off at the end of the show, today is the 1st, and we have Shalonda on the 4th. Since I saw Shalonda's post the other day about domestic violence, so I was like, oh, we haven't done one of those in a while, and someone had asked us to do a show on codependency, so I was like, well, they're not exactly the same, but they're not actually, you know, too much different either, so we decided to meld them together, domestic violence, codependency, and, you know, what examples are you teaching your children by the way you interact, you and your spouse, or you and your boyfriend, or you and your fiancé, or whatever, what type of example are you setting for your children? So that is Monday's show. On the 6th, we are going to be interviewing poet DJ Davis on his debut poetry book, The Poems. Then on the 11th, we have another poet, Leanna, and I hope I'm saying her name right, Lee. And then on the 13th, we're going to do our health show. We're going to do the health, motivation, stress-free show. You know, just healthy living is what I call it, healthy living all over, no stress. Self-motivated, you know, eating right. We're going to get all that stuff out there to you. And then Tony's, this is his baby on the 16th.
Yeah.
The teen talk show, this has been in progress for a couple of months. So we finally have our board members. Actually, we're missing one. So any of you that are listening, if you have a teenager from 13 to 19 that would like to be on our board, we have four. We really wanted five. And what those board members are going to do is they are going to actually run the show with us in the background, you know, to make sure that they ain't saying something they ain't supposed to be. But, you know, it's going to be a teen talk show like we do, but to talk about teen issues so that they have a place to be heard and to speak. So if anyone has a teen that would like to participate, definitely get in touch with us via Facebook. You can inbox us or you can email us, diamondstar_entertainment@yahoo.com, and let us know that they want to be involved. The first show is Saturday, April 16th at 3 p.m. We figured we'd do it on Saturdays for the kids. They're out of school. Don't have to worry about them getting in bed and all that type of stuff.
Yep,
on the
yep.
18th, we're going to do Can Fear and Love Coexist? Can you have fear, you know, getting rid of your baggage and all of that type of stuff, and then still claim to be in love? You know, can those two things coexist? And our guest on that day is going to be Chandra Chaney. Then we got cooking show, cookbook coming out from Sharon Fox. She's going to be, oh, wait, I forgot Raheem.
Uh-oh.
Raheem is on the 20th. I know, I cannot forget Raheem. He is on his way to Delaware right now for a book signing. Congratulations if you are listening, Raheem. I know he wasn't going to be able to call in, but his next book is coming out. It's available on Kindle and Nook right now, Contest. So he's coming back. He was our first ever guest, and he promised he'd come back when he released the second one. So here he is on the 20th. Raheem will be here. Sharon Fox on the 25th, and then on the 27th, the ABCs of Publishing Part 2. So, you know, we're doing it, and we're doing it big.
Holding it down. Holding it down.
There we go. So at the end of the show, we're going to try to stop. Like, we've been trying to do this 10 minutes earlier because I got two other people that I need, two other advertisements that I need to make sure I mention, but I want to make sure that we mention them, you know, maybe halfway through or towards the end of the show. I'll do that. And then, you know, this is what we do. So if you have an advertisement, if you got a book coming out, if you got a CD coming out, if, you know, your job is hiring, if, you know, you got a sale coming on, if you're an editor, if you're a graphic artist, whatever you do and you want us to talk about it, post it on our website, you know, our social network. This is what Diamond Star Entertainment does. So check us out. Check out our website. Hit us up on Facebook. Email us. You know, our prices are very, very, very reasonable. And let's see what we can do. So now, back to our guest of the evening, Miss Shalonda.
Yes, I love the advertisement. You know, I love supporting other people, so I think that's so hot. And I mean, really, I think that is excellent just to be in that kind of business.
This, I love it. To me, I mean, if there was some type of way to just, if we had money coming in from someplace else, I'd just do it for free just because.
Right.
You know, that's
know.
For me.
Yep.
It's like I want to just tell the word about everybody else and what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
I think we can all get to the top together, you know. So.
For real. Please tell them that again. Say that again. One more time.
We can all get to the top together. Yes, we can. We really can stop being crabs. You know, we really need
right.
to get rid of that crab lobster mentality and trying to pull each other down. We can all rise.
Right.
There's enough people in the world.
Listen, Kai, you know what? What's so funny is that, you know, we literally are crabs, you know, by sign. We are canceling crabs, and we are not the ones that do the pulling down. We, like, want to help push people up. Maybe
it's
we
so funny
like
that cancer
that
sign is a crab.
Right.
That
and
is,
we,
like,
we,
so. Yeah.
We're not the ones that want to pull down.
Cancers are not crabs, yeah.
We're snapping at the bottom of your butt telling you to get higher, get higher, get higher.
Yeah.
Please keep it up.
Yeah, we are so not the, you know, the normal crab. Like, cancers are like, we're emotional. Yes, we can be emotional,
yes,
but we are the most nurturing,
yes,
loyal, got your back, give you the shirt off her back person.
For sure.
I mean, come on.
That's
which is
right.
probably why you chose to do what you do.
You know, I wish I could say that I absolutely chose it wholeheartedly. You know, I did it all on my own, but it's a calling, huh? And it's a part of that is, like, it's really, really heavy sometimes. And knowing that you have the heart that you do. I think if it was somebody who wasn't as emotionally attached as I am, they would be able to do this business a whole lot easier without the emotional attachment. But I have the emotions along with the heart, along with all that stuff mixed in to trying to make a living and have a career. So it's really, really difficult sometimes. But I love
it.
I hear you. I love what I do.
I hear you. So a calling. So how, you know, when did you know for sure that, because I know we all get our callings and we're like, God, really?
Right.
You sure? Really? You got my back with this. when
yeah.
What was your defining moment that said, yeah, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do?
The defining moment, I think, came actually before one of my biggest breakdowns. And I've always known that I had a gift to encourage other people. And, you know, I was always the go-to person, the person that everyone came to conversate with or talk to about their issues. And I was always the motivator. Even if I was going through a thing, it made me feel great to push other people. And so God just kind of brought it to my awareness that, okay, this is a part of what you do. I think I was listening to someone, and they said, what can you do all day, every day without getting paid? You know, what could you do, you know, with every ounce of your being without looking for a reward from it? What would that thing be? And so when that question came, I knew that that was the answer to what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life, because I have been not training myself, but developing myself and trusting the divine with every part of me. So that means I trust you wholeheartedly. If you say this is what you do and I'll provide a way, then I have to trust that. And when that revelation came, when that question was asked, and I realized that, okay, this is what I have to do, I also knew that with that came the chance that I may not see everything I wanted to see right away as far as a career. I didn't have the same options as everyone else. I had to do what I was told, or else my life wasn't going to make sense, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So it came, I mean, you asked that question, you know, what can you do? Because people choose careers that they really, really dread, you know, a lot of days, and they do it just to make ends meet. And my life wasn't supposed to be that. And also I was supposed to encourage other people to know that your life doesn't have to be dread. You know, you don't have to dread going to work. You can do what you love, and God will sustain you. But when we're raised or are trained to believe that we have to do it all, you know, in other words, it's all on me, it's all on me, that takes away your trust from God, because, of course, everything is led and ordered by his steps. That's how my life is lived anyway. And when I decide to give it all over and say, okay, I trust you with everything in me, it gets hard, it gets really, really, really tedious, but it all makes, it all matters at the end. It makes so much sense, and it makes you feel so fulfilled. And that's something you don't get from just doing everything on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tony, what we trying to get him? I'm trying to get Tony to step up, you know.
Oh wow, wow. See, no, what you're trying to do is put me under the bus. That's what that is.
You
that's what that
is.
See,
that's
you always start before you
but
let me
okay.
finish.
But that's okay. But that's okay, because I got you on this one. See, because Coach, I've been really excited today about you.
I told you he wouldn't let me take the book, Shalonda. He stole the book and was like, no, this is my book.
No. You had the book. I went back to the book twice. The book is not now, see, and I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody. I've read the books that come to us. I've read them. But I never really had to study them, and I never had to worry about applying them. And there were a few things that I read in your book, and it was like, okay, that one's for me. You know, then I'll go down a little further. Okay, that one's for me, too. So I started to wonder, okay, who's been talking to you about me? Because, see, you wrote a book about me. You see? So I actually got in depth with the book. Your book, I wrote notes on. I literally sat down and took notes from this book. Okay, because it there were so many fascinating facts. When I first started reading it, there was a quote in your that I took out of your book. I think it was the one that says, "Let the cruel ones carry their own baggage."
Their own baggage.
That's right. You are only carrying your own positivity from now on. I posted that, and I credited you, but I posted it on my page because it hit me. You know, I was like taken back by the concept of cruel ones. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is good. So the book ministered to me, I want to go in depth with you on different.
Okay.
Now, like I said, I took notes, so I was all over the place. This isn't going to be our typical interview per se. You know, I mean, to a point where people write books, you can pretty much go into, there are certain questions you know to ask.
Right.
But on this interview here, I want to go in depth into your book because I think there was a lot for people to take out of it. There's a lot to be learned.
Absolutely.
And there were a lot of things that hit me right dead smack in the forehead. So I'm going to hit on a couple of things, if you don't mind. Where did you get the concept of the cruels?
Oh gosh. Before I answer your question, I need to say something to you because I'm gonna try not to be all emotional, you know, like we can't just do. But I have to say that before I got on this call tonight, I was really in a place where I was talking and I was almost not angry with God, but just asking questions, you know, and wondering, okay, is it really effective? You know, all these things I'm saying and all these things I'm doing, you know, who's being impacted and who's being touched, and am I just going through the motions? And it was really, really heavy on me yesterday and today. And not that I'm not motivated most days, because I can count on my hand how many times in 2 years that I've actually been in a funk. But last night was one of those nights, and I think it was all a setup, if I can say that, because God needed me to know that it wasn't just the everyday, ordinary things that you say. This is about changing and helping to affect other people's lives. And so I just want to say, you know, thank you for voicing that, because it matters. It matters to us, you know, whether we're being effective throughout the earth. It matters to me. And so I just want to say thank you anyway for just voicing that, or being used to say whatever you need to say. Okay.
you are more than welcome. I should be thanking you, because it brought to it. I mean, you hit a little bit of everything concerning me, and not only you, even went to the spiritual a couple of times. I mean, you gave some scriptures. I mean, like, you went to Proverbs, and I'm like, oh my goodness, no, she ain't. She's going to Proverbs on me. I mean, you hit on. I mean, because you hit on the pride thing, and that's big for a little bit of everybody. I mean, pride tends to just beat us down. So you hit on a lot. Tell us what the before we do anything, let's talk on where the concept of your book came from. I know it comes from basically what you're doing, but what was your motivation to write on it?
Okay, well, the concept of let's go. Just if you look at the words on the book, on the front of the cover, the letters G and O are capitalized. They're both capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
The concept came, I was basically writing a bio on myself.
Okay.
On Amazon.com. And I mentioned that I was the youngest sibling of 11 and that it was time for me to break out. And I mentioned the word, let's go. And all of a sudden, it came to me that go stood for something. What does it stand for?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I work with, you know, I take things from all over the place, but that particular thing hit me like, that means something. Okay, what does it mean? It means get over it. You know, it means get
okay.
over it. Get over it. Why am I getting over it? You're getting over it so that you can get on with your life. I mean, it was so simple, but it was so profound, because it was like, okay, I'm stagnant. I need to move, right? And
mm-hmm.
if you're stagnant and you feel like you're stuck in a place, then you have to have something to push you to go. And that book was birthed out of that. It wasn't just about me going, but it was about helping other people to get up out of the stuck places. You know, get your life off pause and keep it moving. But you can't do that until you let go of some of the other stuff that has been holding you bound for so long. And that's where the concept for the book came from. Just sitting there and then revelation after revelation. You know, let's go. What does that mean? Because, you know, you hear things all the time. You hear, you know, get up and do something. Do what? You know what I mean? It's not like I'm trying to be naive or stupid, like I don't know how to take steps, but, you know, you're telling me the same thing over and over again, now help me do it. I mean, that's really what we're here for. We're here to help each other along, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So. So give me something. Tell me how. So I know that we all need help. We need each other, and I just so happen to be one of those vessels that is used to do that particular thing.
There's a brother that used to go to my church, and we were having a meeting because it. I think at that particular time there was a point where the church was focused on the young people, and there were a lot of negatives going on, and at one point they were talking about, you know, this music that they're listening to, is, you know, they started bashing on the music, and some of it, okay, I could question
mm-hmm.
some of it, you know, but the thing, the point that, that came out was that it, it seemed as though they were bashing what the kids were doing, but nobody was coming up with alternatives. And it's like, okay, so you're beating down what it is that they're doing, but you're not taking and giving them anything to substitute it. And this brother stood up and said that. It was like, we need to, if you're going to take something from them, then
mm-hmm.
replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be positive in what you're doing with them, because the negativity that you're throwing, is, it just doesn't create a good feel.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So going at what you just said, that that hit me when I read, when I was reading. There's a lot of things that you hit on, like when you're saying, when you're talking in terms of us, let's go. In your first chapter, you talk in terms of fear,
mm-hmm.
Stubborn pride. I mean, you hit a whole lot of stuff here,
right.
And one of the things that hit me was when you started talking, because you started out with the Cruels and the Nayaholics, which I loved.
Right.
I love that Nayaholics. my better half, I'll call her my better half, Kai. She basically was telling me there were times where she would say, "You're always coming with the negative," and sometimes it's not that I was coming with the negative. I'm one of those people that thinks five-dimensional. You know, I'm going to look five steps ahead. It's good to live in the minute, in the moment, but I'm looking five steps ahead, too.
I do understand that. I'm going to bring something else back to your remembrance, too. And maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, not maybe, but all things are purpose for a reason. I think when I first joined you guys' Facebook page, the Tony and Kai Show, and I don't even remember how I came to be on your page, but I came on your page, and I think one of the first things I ever posted, you made a comment, and you said something about, "I'll try," or "I'm trying," or something like that. And I said, "You're trying? No, you're doing it." And I mean, I was like, okay, maybe I already damaged my my stance with this guy, but I need to let him know you're not trying. You know, you're doing it. You're doing it. And I get caught doing the same thing sometimes, but when you hear it come from someone else, and you know that it's basically the truth to them at the moment, but we a lot of times, we make our own truth. The truth of the matter is that you're not just trying. You're actually in motion. You're actually doing something. Are you having a good day? Either you are or you're not. Are you having a good day? Yes, I'm having a good day. And then you work towards having a good day. It's not about, you know, just putting up a false effort, because that's not what you're doing. You're not trying. You are doing. You're either doing or you're not. Which one is it going to be? Well, you asked me already about the Cruels, and I'm going to talk about them now, because that's been one of the biggest, and it is the biggest, one of the biggest things in people's lives. They have dealt with a lot of people in their lives who have been cruel to them, who have said things to them to make them feel as if they weren't going to be anybody, that they weren't anybody. You know, I had people when I was young, my mom used to have, you know, she had to work. So she would leave me with babysitters and, you know, things like that. And I had babysitters who were actually cruel to me, you know, kids in school who were actually cruel to me, because I was always so nice to everyone. And I wanted to feel included. And wanting to feel included and then having somebody tell you that, you know, you can't be a part of this. You can't play with my toys. You can't come in my room. You're not going to get this. Somebody else can get it, but you can't have it. You know, you begin to feel that something is wrong with you. You don't fit anymore. What's wrong with me? How come everybody else can have, but I can't? What's so wrong with them talking nice to me? How come they can love on everybody else, but they can't love on me? And a lot of us have had those people in our lives, and it has caused us to feel like everything in the world is going to deal with us the same way.
Wow.
Life is not fair. We say stuff like that, you know, life is not fair. Mm-hmm. You know, who says that life would ever be, you know, things would ever be easy? You know, we say a lot of cliche type stuff, but it all comes from a frame of mind that, you know, I'm not really worthy. You know, I'm not really worthy to have this life. I'm not worthy to have a good life. Who am I? But where did you get it from?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, you said, I read in the book, it says, focusing on the greater cause often helps you to take the focus off of the negative circumstances in your life. Now, when I first read that, I'm like, oh, my goodness, because I'm wondering. I start to think, and it's like, okay, well, you go over the negative things that have come your way. What is that saying per se? I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying that at some point that can be a hard thing to do.
Absolutely, it's hard. Come on,
we tend to focus on the things that we're going through at that moment.
Exactly. And that, you know what, I'm going to tell you, and here I am being very, very transparent because I'm a very real life person and I am very real in the things that I speak. So don't get it twisted when, you know, you read something from anybody, whether it be me, whether it be Les Brown, whether it be Lisa Nichols, whoever, Oprah, Tyler Perry, anybody who you've seen that has made it from one point to another point, do not ever think that everything is easy because it is absolutely not easy. But the one thing I will tell you is this. See, I've always been a giver, always been a giver. And mind you, a part of what I just said about how I was feeling over the last night and today is because I've always done those things. I've always given. How come I feel like I'm not ever reaping? So, you know, I understand hard. I do. I understand hard. It is hard to hold tight to your faith. It is hard to be good when everything around you feels terrible. It is hard. But, you know, and I don't walk around quoting scriptures day and night, but I will say this to you. It says, be not weary in well-doing. That's what it says. So if I'm going to do well, if I'm going to give to another person, if I'm going to give you words of encouragement when you need it, even if I feel like, ugh, you know, like blah, even if I'm going to step outside and I see somebody who just needs a hug and I absolutely do not know them, I'm going to do exactly what it is that I feel like I need to do. Why? Because it's the right thing to do at that moment. I was led to do it. I was led to do it for a reason. If I'm focused so much on the negative in my life, how can I possibly be effective to you in your life?
Yeah.
Wow.
Focusing on the greater good, sometimes it just means leaving yourself. Don't neglect you. You can't neglect yourself, but you can put other things to the side. And if you notice, if you try for one day, okay, I feel like crap this morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do good for somebody else in whatever case that, you know, in whatever form that takes on. I'm going to go do good. You know, you do it. I can almost guarantee you, if you do it and you actually mean it, you know, you make yourself say, okay, you know what, I really do, I want to do this. And you want to do it, you give in some kind of way to somebody else, it's going to bring about a change within you on the inside. You can't possibly think negative when somebody has their arm around your neck because you just made their day.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's hard. Like you were saying, to when you're constantly doing good, you're always looking for, I'm one that's like that, who, and I won't say I'm not like a goodaholic or anything. You know, I have my days, but I'm one of those, like you said, Cancer, that will do anything and everything for anybody and not necessarily think about the return. It's like, I'm not doing something
right,
so that one day down the road I can be like, oh, you owe me. You know, I'm just doing it because you need, I have, or even if I don't have, I got, you need 20, I got 3, you know?
Right.
I'm going to do what I can for anyone who needs it, and that's just me. But after a while, it does, you know? You feel like, oh, when is my turn going to come? But it's like, you really got to get out of thinking like that. It's like, you just got to do it because. You know,
It takes conditioning. And I don't want to say this to, you know, make it seem like we're puppies or we need to be trained. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is we are trained, no matter whether we want to look at that as a negative thing or a positive thing. But we go through conditioning. We go through training. That's how we become to be, you know, to the fullness of ourselves. And you do, when you are so used to everything around you, you know, because, okay, here's reality, Tony. Here's reality. Reality is that life happens. Life consists of a lot of different things. It consists of good things, bad things, and different things. It consists of good days, bad days, or whatever. That's life. But do you have to allow the fact that two bad things happening this week overshadow every good thing that's happened this week? You know, wow. Do you want to allow every small, and I'm telling you, it just seems, also in the book, I think I mentioned how we always, like, you know, if you have like a 2003 chance, 2000, a 3 in 2000 chance that something mm-hmm. negative will happen, you'll focus on that 3. When, I mean, mm-hmm. there's 1997 chances that something is going to go well, but all you see is what could possibly happen that is negative. You see that, right?
Yeah.
If you're always focused on the negative, then you are not going to notice the positive opportunities and chances that are knocking on your door and pushing you in the back, trying to get your attention. You won't notice. You're focused too hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we like you said, we are conditioned. We're all conditioned. And we are conditioned to the news. Everything is about what's
mm-hmm.
going wrong. There's very little, we don't glorify what goes right, you know.
Right.
We get up, we got a headache. I've been doing that lately, you know, getting up with a headache and still trying to push through. You know, I've been posting,
mm-hmm.
please pray for my strength. Please, please, please pray for my strength. Because, you know, if I sat around and, you know, went with every little ache and pain or, you know, I'd never get out of bed. I'd never get anything done.
That's
you know, every day
true.
I wake
That's
up with something wrong, but it's, eventually, you got to get to a point where I'm just going to push through. And if we all did like you said, and no matter how we felt, we just said, today I'm going to do something nice. Even if it's, like you said, a smile, someone who's not smiling, say good morning to
mm-hmm.
them. You know, back here in Virginia, that was the one thing when we came a few years ago, my kids were, like, amazed that, Mommy, people are saying hi to us. Here they say hi to you. They don't even know you. And it's like, good morning, how are you? From up
right.
north? People don't do that. You might get shot saying hi to somebody, you
right.
know, and it's like, why do you have to be, I mean, you can't say good morning to someone, you know, hi, how are you? You know, those little types of things, smile at somebody, hold the door open for somebody when they're coming, you know, help
mm-hmm.
a woman with her kid off the bus. I mean, we've gotten so far away from those little niceties, you know, that can really, really make somebody's day.
And you know, people, we have gotten away from it, but that's what I meant also by conditioning. We have also been conditioned to be that way. We've also been conditioned to be negative because of the other negative things around us. It's like a trickle effect. So, you know, if you notice in the media or even online, you do have a lot of people that are trying to petition and push love more. As
mm-hmm.
a matter of fact, the name of my ministry, my business, or whatever you want to call it, it's called Love Walk Motivation. I want to motivate people to walk in love on a regular basis. This is about loving the Creator, loving others, and loving yourself. It's so very important. And if you can't do those things, you know, even if it is, and I'm not trying to be super duper religious because I am more spiritual, and so I will say this is a universal thing. I can't just love who I want to love. I have to love everyone because that's what I've been conditioned to now. I have to
mm-hmm.
know that my resources and the way that God blesses me can come from any direction. But if all
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for, as I said before, is the negative in people, if I'm listening to all the hype in the news about, you know, this person bashing this person, this race bashing this race, this religion bashing this religion. If I'm listening and taking all that in, then I'm never going to be able to completely walk in love because I'm too busy looking at all that, too busy focusing on all
yep.
that, too busy focusing on the separations instead of working on how we bring it all back together. We're all His creation. Who am I to tell you who to be and how to be? But we,
mm-hmm.
we've learned that. We've learned to be cruel to other people because they're not like us. And we can't do that. And that is what has happened. People have had things happen in their lives, so they're cruel to other people. I mean, sometimes they do it subconsciously. It's not even intentional, but they're so used to doing it, and they're so used to the negative, they don't know how to break out of it, if you understand what I'm saying. So it's going
right.
to take
yeah.
for more people to say, you know what? I'm not even going to go there with you today. You know what? How are you? You know, if you're not having a good day, I pray that your day gets better. I pray that you're more enriched and you're more blessed. Even if you just cursed me out, trying to reverse the cycle. I mean, it's hard, but it's worth the effort.
Yeah.
Wow. See, now, your book touches on it in a big way. It says, like, one of the hardest things to get over sometimes is ourselves. And
right.
a lot of times that'll come from you know, a lot of that does come from the beating downs that we get. It does come from the cruels, or it comes from the nayaholics. We have a lot of people that aren't really, they don't feel, again, and everything seems to connect, so I like the way your book was written, because it also says, in order for worthiness to actually count for something, you have to realize it. Okay, now a lot of people don't realize it. A lot of people don't feel worthy. How do we address them? I mean, what is it that you tell them? These are people that have had it so long. They've been beat down for so long. They literally don't feel worthy anymore. They never really did. They don't feel the love, and they don't feel that their life is worth much. What do we tell them? Again, a lot of it, as you're saying, a lot of it can be conditioning. I mean, we've gone through this with people where this is just how they feel now. And I've run into a whole bunch of people in my life that, you know, they just don't feel worthy of it. I mean, I'm not putting my baby on the spot, but even with her, like when we got into a relationship, there were times where when things were just perfect, you know, she'd be like, I don't feel like I deserve. You know, and that's there's things I don't feel I deserve her. There's things that we just don't feel we deserve. We're not worthy of. What do we tell these people when they come?
First of all, it's gonna like we said before. When I say conditioning, I don't want people to think that this is about brainwashing or anything. But the truth is that we've already gone through the brainwash process. The brainwash process tells us how to look at life and how to look at things based off of things that have happened before. As a life coach, my position is to look at the present and the future. It's to look at the present more so, and to help you prepare for the future by how you look at yourself. We look so much to the past for things. Most of the time we don't feel worthy because we are basing it on something that has happened before. I'll give you an example. In 2007, I was in the process of writing my first book. It was called Back to the Basics. It was based on Christian principles, based on scriptures. And I had been celibate for a while, you know, and then I met a guy and got pregnant. So my book was in the process of being published. I was pregnant, and it was a Christian book. Woo-hoo. So here it is. I'm now sitting in the seat where I feel a lot of shame. I felt like, you know, God was going to be really mad at me. Everything was going to be all chaotic. I didn't go to church for a month. I even was at the point of feeling like I just didn't want to live anymore, because I do love God with everything in me. I want to be obedient. I want to be pleasing. But it has been bashed into my mind so much that every little step I take, pretty much, if it's not within what somebody tells me it should be, that I'm going to be condemned and God is not going to be pleased with me. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't have their beliefs, but I had to change how I see God. You understand? I had to change my perspective of things. Either everyone has a purpose or they don't. So if everyone has a purpose for being here, then that means my babies are not a curse and I can't sit in condemnation for the rest of my life about it. And I begin to feel unworthy of God's love. I mean, go figure. It's God. Why would I ever, ever be in a position to where I don't feel as if he's going to love me anymore? Why would he, in his great nature, create something that he would not want to be a part of or he would not want to deal with? And that is what I had to change. I had to change my viewpoint of how God saw me. Either he loved me as his child or he didn't. And if he didn't, you know, then I need to be able to figure out what's really going on. Because I am his child, and if you have your own children, you don't stop loving your children because they mess up. You may feel disappointment, but we're talking about the creator of all things. Take the most loving person in the world and multiply that by 100 million or infinity. That's how much he loves me. So I can't any longer stay in a place of condemnation and shame based off of what someone else said is good for me. Because everything in my life, all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things means everything. My so-called mess-ups, my so-called good things, bad things, indifferent things. All those things work together for my good. So if I don't look at it like that, I'm going to continue to feel unworthy of his love. But if I take it and say, okay, all right, that has happened. Now I'm strengthened, I'm stronger, I know better. I can move on from here. But do I have to sit here and fume in the fact that I'm not good enough? If I wasn't good enough, would I even be here? You have to change. It is an intentional. I'm telling you, it's going. The change is going to have to be intentional. And I'm not going to pacify the situation because this is the truth. It has to be an intentional step. Okay, you are worthy. Now, how do you begin to walk in the worthy stance? You have to know that you are worthy. Number one, start getting to know yourself all over again. Start getting to know yourself all over again. There is something about you that is necessary, that is great, that is worthy. What is that thing? Find out what it is. Find out what it is. Tell me one of your good suits. Tell me something about you that would be considered a strength.
Strength? Wow, a strength. It's as simple of a question as that sounds. It's not, because I don't even beat myself up that bad. I do from time to time, but a strength of mine. Well, are we talking anything in particular, per se?
Just anything, whatever. The first thing that comes to your mind, you say it.
Strength. I love to talk.
You love to talk. That's definitely a strength.
That can be a strength.
I would say definitely one of my strengths is the nurturing side of me.
The nurturing side of you, that's a strength, right? That makes you important. You know what's so funny, though? Let me tell you something. That very thing about you that you just called a strength, somebody else may call a weakness. And if they call it a weakness enough, you'll begin to believe that it is a weakness. You understand?
Yeah.
That's who, that's you, that's you, that's who you are, that's who God created you to be. I'm loud at times, very, very loud, okay? And that would not be considered to be a strength just for some people, but when I stand up before a group of people and I open my mouth and I say, you can achieve everything that you have set out to achieve, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, then that loudness comes in handy, right? It has a strength behind it. So the things that people have considered to be our weaknesses or the things that make us so, you know, wrong or so not good or so not worthy, oh, you should be better than that. A lady doesn't talk like that. A lady's not that loud. You need to learn how to be more. Come on, that's nonsense. I am who I am. And who I am carries a purpose. It carries something. And so you have to get back to knowing who you are. And the reason why I asked that question about what your strength is because I just read an article about self-worth and self-esteem. And in the article it says that if you ask a person to name 10 strengths, 10 good things about themselves, they will hesitate. It will take longer for them to answer that than if you ask them about the 10 bad things or 10 weaknesses. I can call out 10 weaknesses off rip. Why is it that I can call out more of my weaknesses than I can do my strengths? And if you talk to someone, like I said, what is considered to be a weakness or a fault, a flaw, to one person can be the thing that changes another person's life. So go back and reevaluate who you are. Accept yourself for who you are, knowing that everything in your life has a purpose, and begin to accept you. And that's the only way that you're going to get to a place of realizing that you're worthy. That's the only way. You have to accept you.
Wow. See, now that for me,
that is
profound for me. That's profound to the highest. I mean, because it makes a whole lot of sense. Because you're saying it, and I can actually do it. I can sit here and come up with 20 quick things, you know, but it did take me that moment of hesitation to try to figure out the one thing, you know. So that is profound. You are listening to the Tony and Kai Show. If you have any questions at all, we are talking to Shalonda Coach Treasure Williams.
There you go.
Oh yes, Williams. and I need to say that this woman is a very profound woman. Her reading the book will hit you if you have. I mean, I dare say if you have a conscience, because the book has a lot in it for everybody. If you have any questions, call in 646 1-800-981-4964. And we will try to get you on the line so you can answer any questions that you may have. Because I know reading the book, I had a lot of questions myself. Shalonda, I had there was something that you did in the book that I really appreciated. I mean, I appreciated all of it. But there was something that really hit me when I read it. You said my pride, my stubborn pride, had me blinded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, it also went in, not necessarily that you were saying that was you, but when you said it in the book, it hit me. You also started talking about pride. And there was a difference in pride. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people use words like pride and attitude, and we generalize them. You know, so we'll say, "Oh, you're full of pride," you know, or we'll say, "Why do you have an attitude?" And I used to buck up with when it came to using that word attitude, because there's 50 million different attitudes to have. So it made me want to get to a point where I'm like, okay, well, which attitude are you talking about? because you know, there's different, and it's the same thing with pride. There's a good pride and there's a bad pride, and you broke it down for us. There's the one that's feeling pleasure or satisfaction towards something you've done, and then there's the stubborn pride. Mm-hmm. I love how you broke that down, because we get so general with these things. Where did you come into? Well, I don't want to say understanding, but I mean, it's like, can you elaborate on that for me? Because we get it twisted sometimes.
And that's what I wanted to make sure that I didn't generalize it, because I try to be careful how I say things, because I don't want anyone to get offended, but here it is. A lot of times we do generalize things, and then we're also taught that pride is not a good thing. We've been taught that in different sectors, you know, in different places. And the truth is, I mean, come on, that can't possibly be true, because it's such a natural feeling that we have at certain times. And there's nothing that, you know, that's natural about us that we can actually say is such a terrible thing. You know, we were made and created with emotions and feelings and things like that, and that was to bring a great balance of dynamics into our lives. So pride, if I see, you know, my daughter when she is being really, really creative and she has, you know, she's 9 years old and she can put an outfit together and you know, and people are loving it, then I'm looking at her like, man, she is so creative. That is so wonderful. That's a sense of pride. That's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's good because it helps people to feel accepted and loved. That's a part of how people feel loved, when they feel that something that they're actually doing something that people are noticing, and it makes them feel proud. But the stubborn pride, oh, my.
Speak on it.
Stubborn pride has caused a lot of people to miss out, okay? We have, that's another thing that we have been conditioned to, you know, and I'll tell you, I was very guilty of it myself, because I've been used to people telling me no all the time. Or when I ask a person to do something for me, I was used to them kind of saying, well, okay. And, oh, that's the worst thing in the world to me. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it. If you're not going to do it, then just say no, you know. But to make it seem as if you don't want to. Hello?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, but to make it seem as if you don't want to, it makes me turn off. So the next time somebody offers to do something for me, I'm like, no, no, thank you. Gotta provide a way. No, no, thank you. Gotta provide a way. No, no, thank you. God provide a way. Hello, Shalonda, don't be silly. That's what I mean when I say that stubborn pride has blinded me. Okay, now he's sending you resources, but because you have been or so accustomed to people saying no, or you're so afraid of rejection, now you're going to allow your stubborn pride, that thing that's going to tell you, that's going to make you say no to help. That's stubborn pride. It puts you in a position where you feel like, you know what, I got this. I can do this. I don't need any help. The Lord is on my side. Okay, fine. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. It's all good. But you're going to be so ignorant to what it really means to wait on God and to actually have God bring things into your life. You're not going to see it because you're so busy living in the past of what somebody else has done. Now you're in a position where you're going to say, I'm not going to accept help from anybody. That's stubborn pride. That stubborn pride. The pride that tells you, you know, that after so many years of being hurt or let down by the person you care about or a person that you loved, that now when someone else comes along and they actually want to bestow good things on you or good favors or love or whatever, you're not in the position to take it because now your pride said, no, I can't, I won't, and I won't, because you don't want to be hurt anymore. I understand the reasoning behind it, but if you don't let it go, you're going to miss a whole lot of blessings.
Been there, done that. I had to take 4 years off to get over. Definitely. And still,
right,
you know, still going through, dealing with Tony. I'm up front. I put it in the chat room. Stubborn pride is in me. And me and Tony, we both do this. And the funny thing is, your letter came today, and he's like, I'm handing it to him because we weren't speaking yesterday. You know, it was over something stupid last night. Like,
right.
Your letter, the last thing you said at the bottom of your letter, I handed it to him. I don't know if he knew that's why I was handing it to him, but the bottom of your letter that we got her package today with her promotional items and stuff for us to deliver and hand out to spread the word. So in the letter that she wrote thanking us, at the bottom it said, you know, don't let the you two are a team. Don't let the small stuff come in between you. And I was like, Jesus, so in our head. I ain't tell her nothing was going on today. You know, scratching the back of my head like somebody is ratting us out.
I think we need to all day. I think we need to sit down and have a talk with Javier. We need to sit down and have a talk with our 7-year-old because I think he's sending you smoke signals or something. That's what that is.
I have a question. About that.
Listen, we are good for that. Time is so everything.
And I'm gonna tell you something. It's been a month since I. Oh, and by the way, not only did I send the promotional items, but I sent the money order too. Okay, so y'all go ahead and sign up for y'all packages, please. Support this brother and sister because they are doing great things, and I had no problem going that scene. So anyway, I've been holding that money order for like a month. Remember, Kai? I was supposed to send it like so long ago, and I got the money order a long time ago. But you know, timing is everything. So if I had sent it before. Then it wouldn't have came just in time for whatever it came for and the letter and everything else that came along with it. And so I believe that timing is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Things happen when they are supposed to.
I think that's one of our biggest
problems is we want it to happen when we want it to happen.
Yeah.
Supposed to happen right now. I was supposed to be here yesterday. You know. But, you know, I tell Tony about us, I say, you know, we've known each other for years. And I said, if we'd dated way back then, we'd have probably been broke up because I wasn't where I am now.
Right.
I couldn't have handled the man that he is. I mean, I'm still learning how to handle the man he is now. Back then,
right,
I would have been, you want fried eggs? Man, please, I'm making scrambled eggs. You better get out my face. You know,
I
make scrambled eggs. What you mean you want over easy? What the heck is over easy? You know?
Right. Yes.
I'm a different woman today, you know?
There's another insert that I read in the book. And I really wanted to question this one. I really need to elaborate on this one because the views could be a little different here or there. But it said, the past is made up of things that can no longer hurt you. Now, when I read that, I actually sat down and that's what I do, I dissect. But I dissected that statement, and I'm like, okay, well, I found myself sitting there, what could possibly go on that could affect me at that moment and then make me feel affected later on in life? You know, and I found myself looking for things. I'm like, is this statement actually... Is it real? That's what
we're functioning in. Listen to what you just said. Is the statement real? Is the situation real? Is it happening at this very moment? And that's where that statement comes from, that the things in the past, they happened at that particular time, and we are now reliving them. We relive them in our mind. We relive the bad experiences. You know, we relive the person who pushed you down when you were a child and told you that you would never be nothing. We relive that stuff. We relive it in our minds. But is it actually happening to us at the moment? Now, you have things that are happening to people right now in the present, but it's in the present. Those things before, the things that people in all these different places said to me, the things that people said you will never have anybody to love, who's going to love you with four children, stuff like that. Those things were said to me in the past. Do I still allow them to affect me today? And that's what the statement means. It's talking about, you know, the fact that if it happened in the past, then it's already there. Everything else is an illusion. It is you making, you bringing it back into your mind and reliving it. Now, you can have the same emotions. You can allow it to hurt you right now in the past, but that's because of the emotions that you are coming up with in this very day. But say, for instance, you begin to think about something that happened to you so long ago. Now, you have a lot of people who have been abused. They've been hurt. You know, they've been beaten. They've had things, physical things happen to them that really make them afraid to live from day to day. I'm not making light of any of that. Believe me, I'm not. My mom was stabbed 7 times by a man when I was a little girl, and she could have almost died. But she forgave him right after it happened. Now, that's a huge heart. You feel me?
Wow.
Right.
You know, and maybe I got my heart from her, but it showed me that it was, and she'll say that, well, that was then, and this is now.
Wow.
What's about that?
Wow.
Is some strength right there, okay?
Yeah.
That is some,
that is some strength
right there.
Yeah.
That's some serious strength.
But what I'm saying is, if she had allowed it, and I've even allowed certain things, you know, to replay in my mind, and it still hurts me in my heart and my emotions, but is that thing actually happening now at this moment? And so if I can take it, as soon as the thought comes, if I can tell myself that, you know what, this ain't happening now, why am I allowing it to affect me at this very moment? I could be doing something different. I could be talking to Kai on the phone and making her laugh or something, or I could be trying to see what her and Tony are arguing about. You know, I mean, I can do something else. I can be doing something else right now. I can be hugging on my children. I can be, you know, spending time with my loved ones, and I could be making life great. Why am I sitting here allowing this to still affect me? I have life to live.
See,
yeah.
Now that answers my question, because I really wanted clarity on it. Because like I said, I sat there and I thought about it for a minute. It's like, okay, well, there are things that affect people later on. But again, if I'm understanding it, it is basically a mindset.
Yes,
that you work with. Another thing that hit me, like I said, the book was written for me. Another thing that hit me is one that said, the reason it does not make sense is because it's not supposed to. Not everything is supposed to make sense.
Oh my goodness.
These
you can't tell
that you
him that.
Do
everything
not
is supposed to make sense. You can't tell him that.
I'm confessing this thing here. I'm confessing it. But it is. It slapped me dead up in the forehead. If I was drinking something, I probably would spit it right out my mouth when I was reading it.
Right.
This thing was big for me because, for me, there's a reason for everything.
That's
the way I've told my kids, you know, this is what is. There's a reason for everything, so you need to understand everything. This is my concept on it. Understand it. You know, if you're going to do it, understand it. You know, and to an extent I can understand, I'm feeling that because that's basically, it makes sense to me. It's like, why would you do something, and you don't understand anything that you're doing? Why would you do it in the first place?
I'm going to tell you why, and this is going to be, let me tell you something, Tony. I dissect everything as well. Everything, you know, so I can probably recap the conversation that I had with somebody about 20 years ago when I was 9. Right, and say, no, but you said such and such and such and such, such, you know, I can do that. So let me tell you something. You just said it. Everything happens for a reason, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's also a reason why things don't make sense. You understand? Everything has its place. Everything has its time. Everything has its season. And if you knew everything and if everything made sense to you, then you would have no reason to still be alive and learn. You would have no reason to grow and develop. Since we have already been talking of scripture, let me bring something back to your attention. Mm-hmm. If Moses had known that he was going to lead these people out of Egypt, if he had known that his job would be that big, then a lot of things he probably wouldn't have, first of all, wanted the job. That's number one. He would not have wanted to do such a big thing. And number two, all the things in his life that led up to him getting to the point where he was, it probably wouldn't have never happened because he would have tried to avoid it at all costs. Well, right. It doesn't make sense that he had to kill this Egyptian for whipping these people, and he had to run into the wilderness to learn and to get developed and for God to develop him in order for him to be prepared to lead the people out of Egypt. It didn't make sense. I had to kill somebody to do such and such. This had to happen in my life for this to happen. It's not going to always make sense to you, but if you trust that you are going to end up in your destined place or you're going to end up in your purpose place, then you have to kind of walk the line that you're being led. Stop trying to figure it all out. Because it really boggles your mind. It messes you up sometimes, doesn't it, Tony? You try to figure out everything and it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So if you just release, and seriously, I have to do the same thing. I can't understand everything. You know, there are some people who know what they know and they're supposed to bring it to the table. I know what I know. I'm supposed to bring it to the table. Just take our Waco 2 board, for example. All of us are very, very different. Very unique, we bring different things to the pot. And you don't have to understand what I'm doing, and I don't have to understand what you're doing, but if I do mine effectively and you do yours effectively, then it makes for a whole bigger picture. Am I right?
Yes.
Everything may not that everything doesn't make sense in somebody's mind. That thing that you can't make sense of, it probably makes sense to somebody else, but it may not be supposed to make sense to you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Mm. Right.
Because that's not your place. It's not your job. You know what I'm saying? It's not your area. You have to do what you have to be where you sit. You have to understand the things that you need to understand so that you can be the best you can be in your area. And let somebody else deal with the other things. I mean, you have to give room for the fact that you're not going to know everything.
Wow.
See,
and that was hard. That was a hard pill for me to swallow. I looked for some reason or rhyme to combat it. But in the grand scheme of things, you hit the nail on the head. There's not really much else that can be said on that one because you basically corrected. Now, in everything that we've talked about, basically that leads to the other thing that was in the book, which is basically getting over yourself.
Yeah. That's the biggest pill to swallow right there. That's like one of the hugest things we'll ever have to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain that per se. I mean, can you break that down just a little for us?
Mm-hmm.
Getting over yourself.
We tend to make everything about us a lot of times. I mean, not to say everybody does it at all times, but sometimes it comes back to us wanting things to fit into our idea of how things should be, about how life should be, about how people should be. The reason why we get upset at our partners and our children is because they're somehow not lining up at that moment. You understand what I'm saying? They're not lining up with how we want things to be at that particular time. So we can say that it's about everybody else. Oh, I love people. I want to be better so that I can be more effective. Yeah. But what about when everything is not going the way you think it should? Are you still able to stand up and actually just be cool with it? Eventually, it all leads back to us wanting satisfaction. We want life to go our way. And there's nothing wrong with wanting the desires of your heart. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with wanting a good life. There's nothing wrong with wanting a great, family. You wanting things to be nice, a life of total fulfillment. There's nothing wrong with those things. But somebody else wants the same thing. So when I say I have to get over myself, okay, Shalonda, today you're not going to be able to get your way. Somebody else's day is today. You may not be able to if I just want total and complete quiet throughout the whole house. Okay, that's my idea. That's what I want. But my kids might have another idea all in mind, you know. They might want to rip, run, do whatever, and be them, be who God created them to be. Now, can I stop them at all times from being themselves? Can I stop them from actually having the things that they desire and the things they want and the things that makes them feel fulfilled? Because that's selfish, right? So in order for me not to be selfish and be selfless, I have to get over me. I have to put myself to the side sometimes and say, okay, Shalonda, it ain't about you today. It's not about what you need. It's not about what you want. You already are sustained. Be sustained. Be content. You don't have to have it all. This is not, it's not, life is not always about us as individuals. We live here collectively. There's so many people in this world. It's not always about us as an individual. What can you do today that's going to be for the greater good of the entire world or your entire family? Is it always about you focusing on what you have to have?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. 646-381-4964 is the line to call on if you have any questions. It's a great show right now that we're having. I'm enjoying speaking to you. I mean, we could, if you were here in person, we'd be doing this for another 4 hours. Because I love, like I said, and you know, strength or fault, it's what I do. I love to talk. I'll tell you, half the time she'd be trying to get me to shut up, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Okay, your book says it's okay to free yourself from anything that has a grip on you. What are some of those things that we can look for that would have a grip on us? Just examples of some of these things.
Oh, wow. I could probably throw out 100 of those. Let me give you an illustration. I won't throw out 100. I promise. But let me give you an illustration right quick. If you ever watch TV or if you ever been in school, I mean, of course you've been in school, but if you've ever been bullied in school or you watched a bully, you know how they really really mess with the child that they're bullying and they do all kind of things. But one of the things they used to do is hold the back of their shirt. And the little child or whatever is trying to run away. Just get a visual of that in your mind. The bully has your shirt. You're trying to run. You're trying to move. You're trying to go. You can't, right? You're stuck.
Right.
Because the bully's bigger than you, stronger than you. You can't pull away. That's gripping you. That's something that's holding you in place, that bully, that thing that's trying to hold you bound, trying to keep you from actually moving. Well, a lot of those things, if you can see that in your mind, imagine that bully as your stubborn pride. That's one of the things that grips us because we don't want to accept anything. Therefore, we can't receive the blessings that God has for us because we're allowing stubborn pride to hold us hostage. Tell it to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it to let you go. Another one of the things that grips us is us reliving the past, as we just talked about. Your past is holding you by the shirt. You're letting it replay in your mind day in and day out. He did this to me. She did this to me. I don't trust them. I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't want anybody to touch me. I don't want any children because they're just going to turn out just as bad as everybody else in my life. I don't want this and I don't want that. All based off of the past is holding your shirt. Tell it to let you go. Tell it to let you go. Some of the other things that grip us is the nayaholics, the negative people, the people who always have something negative to say. Oh, don't cross that street, you're going to get hit by a car and die. Oh, don't get in that car, something's going to happen. Something happened to my cousin. And, it's fear, negativity, all that stuff is holding the back of your shirt. Tell it to let you go. The people who have wronged you, unforgiveness, you know, those things that we have been holding forever. Somebody stepped on your shoe 35 years ago, and if you see them right now to this day, you still remember. That is some serious baggage. Please tell it to let your shirt go. Let it go.
Right.
You're trying to move forward, and you can't move with it holding you so tight. And you can sit up here and say, oh, that's just the way I am. You know, I ain't never going to, you know, I forgive them, but I ain't never going to forget. Then guess what? You haven't forgiven yet, and you need to figure out a way to do that.
Wow.
That's a lot of truth for you. That's a lot
it
of
is.
Truth. Hey, you know what? That is one of the biggest truths there is. I forgive them, but I ain't never going to forget. Then really, you still weighed down. You still weigh it down. I know you done seen a lot of Madea movies and plays where they say it over and over again. Forgiveness is not necessarily for you. It's for the other. It's not for the other person. It's for you. You're the one that's bound. They done moved on with their life. They done been happily, in something else for like the last 15, 20 years, and you're bound up because you haven't forgiven. You haven't let it go. It is holding the back of your shirt. Grow some muscles. Grow some strength. Tell it to let you go. You cannot move. You can't move without releasing it. You can't.
Wow. That right there is a super powerful statement because Tony knows I've had, and my family, some of my friends and family know I've had a problem with letting go of certain things, and a lot of us do, especially from our childhood. You know, we didn't have the relationship with our parents that we wanted, which was a big one for me, and I prayed and prayed, and I still pray, and I tell Tony all the time, I ain't even worried about it. If they don't support, who cares? If, my mother don't call me, but she call everybody else, who cares? But then the next time I hear about a gathering, well, now that we've moved, of course I can't go, but family would come to town and they'd visit everybody but me, and he'd be like, well, if you don't care, why are you mad?
Right.
If it's not bothering you anymore, why are you still mad? You know,
and that's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, we all have those things. I even have those things. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go ahead, like I said, and be transparent again. I've been gifted, of course, my whole life. I walk in certain gifts. I guess I could put this out there and say that, intuition or prophetic gifts or whatever people want to call it, the spirit of, the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, things like that, I operate in those things all the time. You know, God speaks through me a lot of things, and the timing is always just right. Now, I can do that, and I know that that's a part of me, but how come my family doesn't know? And how come every other family member seems to get recognition, and we can hoop and holler about how great everybody else is doing, but Shalonda has 4 kids out of wedlock, and she is very promiscuous, and she does this and she does that. You know all those things about me, but do you know my heart? And how much about me do you really know? Because how come someone else on the outside can tell me how wonderful and how great the gifts of God in my life are blessing them, but you don't even know what they are? Now, I've held that, and I held that for a long time, and I have just gotten to the point where it really doesn't matter. And I can say that with so much certainty at this very day because God has said, I validate you. When I created you, you were valid. You don't need anyone else to validate you. I was looking for every prophet, every person of any kind of spiritual background to see the spiritual gifts in me, to confirm for me that I was purposed, to confirm for me that I was great, to confirm for me that God had called me, that I was chosen, and all this other stuff. Every prophecy, I wanted more. Every word, I wanted and needed more because I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about me. And I had to get to a point, and the divine had to say, hold up, wait a minute, stop. Who matters other than me at this point in your life? Because you're trying to get back to you. You're trying to get back to knowing who you are, redefining what you like. Do you like peach soda, or did somebody tell you that peach soda was good and you wanted to be their friend, so you started liking peach soda too? What is it? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you like? Do you know what you dislike? Do you honestly know what you believe about me? Do you believe this because somebody told you to believe this, or do you believe it because your faith says yes?
Wow.
I had to get back to me, and getting back to me means that I had to release whatever somebody else didn't see, because it didn't matter whether they saw it or not if I didn't see it in myself. Kai, let me tell you something at this very moment. There are so many things that if you just allow yourself to breathe and to stop allowing every single thing that has happened before, and some things that are even happening now that you take very personally, if you do not allow those things to be released, then you're not going to feel any peace. And you can love on people as much as you want to, but if you do not love and appreciate yourself, and if you do not release that other stuff, and let me tell you how you can love yourself more, by releasing all that, because you care about yourself. And because you care about yourself and your well-being, you have to release. And it's something, not even a small thing. This is a really big thing that you've been holding for a long time. I don't even know whether Tony knows. I don't know whether you can find it in anybody about it. But whatever it is, I tell you what, when you do release it, everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know. It's going to be like a brand new Kai. A brand new Kai.
Wow. Now, see, that's a prophetic word right there. That's a prophetic word. We have another 8 to 10 minutes left in the show. We're not going to try to use every last second because then we cut off, and this is what we normally do. So we're going to try to work this thing. But I do have another question for you, or I have another something else for you to elaborate on. I was reading where it said there are those in the world who are so negative that you would say that they are addicted to the negativity. Now, with that being the case, okay, how do we deal? Do we, like, push those people to, because these are some of the people that have formulated who we have we've allowed to formulate us into what we are. So with that being the case, how do we deal with these people, per se? I know somebody that, I mean, you could look them in the face and say, wow, I have a headache. And they'd be like, you got to go to the hospital because you might have a tumor. Or you could tell them, wow, my finger hurts. Is your finger broke? I mean, no, I never said it was broke. I'm asking, you know. But there was always something negative that came out of them. How do we deal with these people that are, shall we say, basically addicted to the negative?
You can't deal with it. I mean, you can't change anyone else. You can only deal with you. You can only handle you. You are responsible for you. As far as those other people are concerned, they are going to have to be responsible for them. And what is so wonderful about shifting your mindset is that when you totally shift your mindset to absolutely, you know, convince yourself that I am not allowing negativity into my space, then it'll automatically repel others. As positive as you are, you will begin to repel. This is just the opposite you know how the magnets go, and you have the repelling, you know, if you flip it on the wrong side or whatever. Well, you're not going to attract this negative things to you, because most people that are negative, they don't want to be around people that's positive all the time. It aggravates them for some reason. If you notice it, if they start speaking a bunch of negative and you start saying a bunch of positive things, then they're going to start feeling really awkward and funny. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? Why are you trying to be so goody-two-shoe all of a sudden? Why is this and why is that? All of a sudden, the change in you, the shift in you, either it helps to change them in the way they see things and the way they talk when they're around you, or they will no longer be around you. Try it. Notice it. Even when it comes to your spiritual life, things like that, if you continue to stand fast in what you believe and how you feel about certain things, and the people who don't like it because they feel like, oh, you're so different, you changed, something is wrong with you, then either they're going to adjust or they're going to move. And you have to be strong enough in yourself that you are not moved based off of what they're saying or doing. And then they will have to make a decision, because you can't change them. You can't make anyone do anything. You can only do you. And
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that thought process that we fall under is to, when as soon as something like that comes or we encounter these people, we start to ask that question that I asked, which is basically, what do we do about them? When in the answer, In the spectrum of things, the answer should be basically, okay, how do I do this? How do I work this? How do I adjust? Not so much adjust, that's the wrong word to use, but how do I basically deal with this situation for me? In my own mind, how do I work this? And we really don't look at it that way. We look at it in the opposite way. We look at, okay, the other person has the problem, so what do I do about them?
Right,
and church, you know, I learned in church, basically, you know, stop looking at the other person. It's it's about you. Even if you have a problem with somebody, the first question you should be asking yourself is, what about me? Or what part did I play in this? And how do I fix this? Instead of putting it on the other person. And even as a churchgoer, I tend to have, you know, forgotten that myself. I've lost track of that.
I mean, we do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with losing track as long as you can find a way to get back on. And, I mean,
right.
It's not that it's not going to affect all of us. All of us are going to have those moments. But if you have been placed in another person's life for a reason, then you really have no choice but to be there and work whatever it is that you need to work. Just both of you are going to learn something in the process. Don't look at people for their faults. Find the good in them and allow them to see that you know what the good in them is as well. You know, and speak on those things. And when they're negative, just be positive and try to repel it. That's all you can do is be responsible for you.
Coach Treasure, it's a pleasure having you. We have like 3 minutes left. I would like you to just tell us about yourself or your website and how people get in touch with you, and just give us a little, like, a minute and a half or two of you.
Okay. Well, I am Shalonda Coach Treasure Williams. I am a certified life coach, motivational life coach, and motivational speaker. I would say motivational empowerment speaker, because what I want is to give you the tools that you need to be able to live your life to the max, to the fullest, until it overflows. I want you to be able to live in a way that you can actually be satisfied with who you are. And the way that I do that is, number one, I focus on self-esteem and self-worth. If you can know who you are, know your worth, know your value, then you can accomplish almost anything. There's no impossibilities for those that believe in themselves and believe in the one that created them. My website is coachtreasure.org, or if you have treasurespeaker.co.cc, they both work for the same site. And if you go to that site, you'll be able to purchase a copy of Let's Go, the book that Tony is so excited about. You'll be able to purchase a copy of that book today and allow it to help to change your life and answer some of your questions. You can contact me at Coach SYW at lovewalkmotivationservices.com. That's my email address if you have any questions about coaching. If you want to book me for a speaking engagement, you can do that at speak@lovewalkmotivationservices.com. And, yes, I will travel. But as of right this moment, what I want to do is invite each and every one of you to sign up, register for the Enhance Your Vision of Self teleseminar series. This is going to be 10 topics, 10 sessions, and 10 opportunities to enhance your vision. And that is going to be from May 15th to June 16th. And it's going to be huge. So as I said, 10 sessions, and all of that you can get for $38. That's less than $3
wow.
per session. Less than $3 per session. And you also, when you register for this cause, you're also going to be donating to Waco 2, which is our global initiative. So I want you to register, because you're going to be impacted and touched and all that. All this for $38 at coachtreasure.org. Click on Enhance Your Vision.
Wow. Thank you so much, Coach, for joining us. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom, your gift of wisdom. And the book is awesome. Everybody get the book. It is awesome. I am enthralled with this book. I really am. Only because it spoke to me. It was well written, but it spoke to me. So I'm endorsing this book wholeheartedly. Go out and get it. Let's go. Get over. Get on with life. Let's do this. We can do this.
Absolutely.
Coach, it's been a beautiful time with you.
Thank you.
Kai, baby, I love you dearly. join us again this week. You know. Kai, go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Monday
okay.
for our domestic violence and codependency discussion. We got about 30 seconds left. I wanted to make sure that you guys check out www.coachtreasure.org
Creation by Donna. She's having a special. Any graphic design, book cover, airbrushing, flyer design, all of that stuff. And check out our Facebook website, our Facebook group, rather, Tony and Kai. Just input that in the search engine. Everything else that we were going to say today, that was said today, will all be posted in there later on. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out Coach Treasure. We could all use a little bit of motivation. So, you know,
we love
wonderful.
You all.
We love you.
And we thank you for joining us. Join us again on Monday, 6 p.m. Love you all. Thank you, Coach. God bless you all.
Good night.